Another edition of the Coach's Show, live from Jack's Sports Grill on the corner of Campus and Mary here in Garden City, alongside Ross Miller, Mike Pilosoff. You know, it's kind of frustrating, and I guess I have digested these numbers now, and I keep going back over them. And Ross, we saw something on Friday night that I don't think you, myself, nor a really good crowd at Buffalo Stadium saw, and that's Garden City. Not only the fact they lost the game, but the way they lost the game and Bo Black's game plan coming in. And when you look at the time of possession, and we'll get into all this because we'll have Brian Hill coming on here in just a few minutes, but boy, for a game that was statistically as one-sided as it could possibly get, Garden City still has the ball under 10 seconds to play and has the ball in Grayson Temple's hands and a shot into the end zone. So as absurd as it sounds, Garden City was outgained, they were outpossessed, and they still almost won the game.
You know, Garden City, I think, led in every category that there was in that ball game, but except for the score, except for the time of possession. It reminded me, honestly, if you remember the K-State days of Wes Snyder, who's still there, but back in the day when he had a dominating offense and a dominating, really with a quarterback last year, they dominated possession of time. I mean, that was just how they did it, and people would get frustrated because you get some of these big teams here that can't get their big offenses out there with their four- and five-star players. Pretty tough, and it kind of reminded me of that. But the thing is, though, that Garden City, we have not seen this team perform to high standards, let's put it that way. I'm going to give them a grade of C. And the thing is, though, if they play at a B level, they're undefeated.
Yeah.
In my opinion, too, though. So, but hey, real quick, like I guess I'll do the introduction here.
Go ahead, do it.
But a rarity for Western Kansas, because Tim, I'm going to tell you, Tim Boulware, he's a newsman down at with Western Kansas Broadcast. I've never met a Cleveland Brown fan. Glad to have you aboard,
bud.
We're
all around. You just have to know where to find us.
Well, glad to have you aboard. Welcome to Western Kansas. Very friendly individuals out here. You'll have people just up and wave at you, which will be my dad. And you'll probably go, well, who is that? And then you can go, well, that's Ross's dad.
I had two people wave at me the other day. I'm just walking down the street. That was nice. So, like, do I know them?
Yeah.
I haven't been here that long.
It's a very friendly town. I'm from, like, a larger place, Vegas, and you've lived here basically all your life, at least in Kansas. I mean, I know you were in Colorado for a little while, but small towns, you have people waving at you, you have no idea who they are.
Yeah, but it's a fun place. I hope that and don't let it bother you that there's no water around here. I know that you're used to the shores, you know, of some water being around or even water in a river. And by the way, this weekend is the Riverless Festival also going to go on, and also the balloons are supposed to come in too, so the wind does have to die down just a little bit, but there's things to do in Western Kansas.
Thanks for being my tour guide. I appreciate that, Ross.
There you go. We'll get you around here. So talk about the Cleveland Browns. We were just talking about that, you know, with Trent Richardson being traded for, number one, early in the season, and then what does Cleveland go do but win this past Sunday?
I've been hearing a lot about Brian Hoyer, and now I'm convinced. I know he threw three interceptions yesterday, but threw three touchdowns. And when you have that great combination throw for over 300 yards, the first Browns quarterback to ever do that in his debut, that does mean something, especially when you have no running game.
Well, and the only thing that I would – it's kind of like when Blake Bell threw for almost 500 yards against Tulsa, and I went on Facebook, as rare as I do that, and some moron goes on there and says, well, boy, Blake Bell is going to win the Heisman Trophy. And I said, hey, take it easy. You know, it's Tulsa. Yeah. So I would almost venture to say the same thing with Brian Hoyer. Minnesota's defense isn't – I mean, they got some good components, Jared Allen's and stuff like that, but – I mean, we'll give credit is due because he did throw for 300 yards, but let's see him do that back-to-back weeks, and then we'll put a cake on your desk.
They play the Bengals next week.
Well, good luck doing that, my friend.
Yeah, the Bengals got through my Packers. They were down. Packers were down 14-0 at Bengals and then went up and got on top of them, and then Bengals scored 21 straight points. But a big game, which really kind of the college, if you look at the college landscape for football this past week, there really wasn't any huge, huge games, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah.
But a big one will be at South Bend here on the 28th here this coming Saturday. That's when OU comes in the town, the South Bend, and we're going to find out about both teams, to tell you the truth, see who's real and who's not.
Well, see, and I'm gonna disagree with you on that. And by the way, like I said, we'll have Brian Hill on here in just a minute. I'll disagree with you because Notre Dame's not as good as they were last year. I think Oklahoma not only goes in there and wins, I think Oklahoma goes in there and wins big. And that's not, again, I'm not saying Blake Bell for the Heisman Trophy. I'm just saying that the parameters and And when you look at this game from an inside-out perspective, Brian Kelly's team is nowhere close. You lost Manti Te'o. That defense isn't as good. I mean, they're barely squeaking by every single week, and, of course, they already have the one loss.
They barely squeaked by every single game last year. Yeah. That's how they went to the national championship
still, but they
game.
Still beat – look, they and their problem is always going to be that they're an independent team. They're not – necessarily affiliated with a conference. They're playing with like an ACC schedule this year, so I mean,
well, you know, they did get by last year, and like I said, it seemed like the Cards were in the right place for them, and plus, you know how popular they are too, a great draw, which they will be out here at Air Force, by the way, here coming up here in the future too. But thing is though, that was it Pitt that they just barely got by, actually a missed field goal toward the end of the ball game, and then also when they played USC, Barkley wasn't playing, the lead quarterback had gotten hurt the week before for Lane Kiffin. And here's another guy, this would be kind of cool too, is that you can sit there and think about Lane Kiffin could be gone from USC after this year if USC doesn't do anything. Think about Mack Brown down at Texas. There could be a major coaching change going on here in the college world.
And who would have ever thought that Mack Brown would be out of a coaching job after at least get – I mean, Vince Young was a long time ago. The Gilbert kid was a long time ago. So, I mean, it's actually kind of sad to watch the demise of Texas at this point. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have Brian Hill on the other side as we break down week three of 28-25. Garden City lost to Great Bend. They hit the road. Second conference matchup coming up on Friday against Hayes. We'll have it for you right here on KWKR 99.9, Taco Bell pregame show, 6:30, kickoff at 7. So Brian Hill coming up next on the Coach's Show live from Jack's. Here comes the blitz. They pick it up. Temple to the near side. Has Caleb Tramp a perfect throw. Tramp makes the catch. Breaks the tackle. 25-20. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. Caleb Tramp on a bomb from Grayson Temple. He broke out of the arms of Ty Yeager.
All right. And by the way, Ty Yeager is one of the guys that Bo Black said was injured. And number 17 was actually on the field. Surprise, surprise. Welcome back to the Coach's Show live from Jack Sports Grill. We have Brian Hill. And, you know, I was commenting about this off the air because I thought this was a point we had to make. And I know we talked about it during the postgame show was, look, everything that could have went wrong as far as bad probably did. But your defense, I thought, the second half, you know, yardage-wise, almost half of what they gave up the first two games. They didn't even give up 300 yards. And they were on the field a long time, and it performed the way they were able to perform. Because let's face it, the offense didn't put them in great spots. I thought the defense was admirable in the second half.
Oh, absolutely! I thought the kids, you know, really responded to some of the adjustments that were made, and you know, really came out and, you know, were extremely physical the second half. And you know, I just thought really did a good job of you know, recognizing, because they did some stuff to us in the first half that we hadn't seen on film at all, and you're going to get that. We know where you're going to get that, you know, every time you play Bo Black. But, you know, I thought that they, you know, they shot all their guns that they possibly could at us, and, you know, we made the adjustments. The kids paid attention and came right back out and did a fantastic job of, you know, stopping them and putting them, you know, at least giving us a chance. And, you know, if it's not for a couple of the, you know, just not making a play, guys were in a position to make a tackle in the first quarter there. Especially, you know, the one you'd really like to have back is the 73-yard touchdown run. That's the one you'd like to have back, because I think that one combined with the drop touchdown pass by Dusty, you know, there's a switch of 14 points and, you know, really could have made the difference in the game.
Well, I thought it was a great game, to be truthful. I mean, once we got past the first 18 minutes, you guys take the ball right off the bat and drive it right down the field. And you got to remember that this was, you know, basically there's a breeze going on there, that you guys did a great job there going against the wind a little bit and then able to stick it in for the 3 points. Then about basically what we talked about, I guess, to say, I say 18 minutes. It just seems like the first 18 minutes is real hard for the defense to kind of adjust. You guys make that adjustment and start getting things going. And, you know, you bring up a point here that I had actually warned Michael about when you talked to Bo Black, because, well, Bo's going to tell you what he wants you to hear. And you take it and just kind of basically put your boots on and take a shovel with you, because that's exactly what's going to happen. And that's how he operates, and that's fine. I mean, it's really good. And I know that not all the coaches, I mean, you can't blame. Listen, I'm not going to tell you my game plan. I'm going to tell you who's really going to be there and not going to be there and what we're going to do. This team that we talked about here, though, that I basically rate this team right now, everything that's going on is a C. If we play B, we're undefeated in grade-wise.
I think we're just not making a couple plays. You know, we've dropped some touchdown passes. We've not made tackles when we needed to. And, You know, I mean, in two losses, we're 8 points.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, you're obviously right there in the game, and we just got to make plays when they need to be made. And you know, it's tough to sit here 1-2 knowing that you could be 3-0 or even 2-1, you know, worst case scenario. But the thing probably I'm most proud of is that, you know, when you go back and look, you know, we're missing from when we went to Emporia State team camp, we're missing 8 starters.
Jeez.
We had 8 guys not play that played as a first team guy at Emporia State. And, you know, I'm never going to make excuses. And, you know, I've always told you it's the next guy in, and we coach every guy the same. But at some point, that makes a difference.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I guess I'm most proud of is that, you know, we're 1-2 and only 8 points separate us from 3-0. And we've got kids that we didn't anticipate playing, and we're still right there. I'm hoping that as time goes on, that those kids will make plays for us, and the more experience that they get as the season goes on, we'll be able to make up for those 8 guys that we lost. And so, you know, it's just difficult as a coach to sit there and look at those kids that are standing on the sideline and just wish what could have been. You know, you're missing 8 guys, and 4 of them are seniors, and you know, they're every single, you know, we may get 1 back eventually, we might even get 2 back eventually, but you know, most of those injuries that are over there are for the entire season.
Right.
And so it's a tough deal, but that's what makes me so proud of what these kids have shown through 3 weeks, is that we're right there in the game, even though it shows how much depth that we had, you know, before we start going through the rash of injuries, that we actually had some depth, you know, before the season started. And, you know, it's just been decimated through those 8 injuries.
What would you say? And that is Brian Hill, head football coach, Garden City, joining us here on the Coach's Show live from Jax alongside Ross Miller, Mike Pilosoff. Running game-wise, when, you know, Malcolm Howard goes out, we know Norquist is out, and that was something that, you know, he was supposed to be a starter. That's one of the 8 guys. And I think your 2 guys that filled in nice. I know Howard was out this past week, and then you have Jared Coster. So just assess the running game from your standpoint, from when you've seen. And, again, not making an excuse, knowing that it's not a healthy backfield, but at times it's looked pretty good. Coster has a 2nd rushing touchdown of the year.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, early in the game, we were doing a good job of rushing the football. I mean, Grayson was doing a good job of giving it up and letting Jared have it. And it just got to the point where, you know, the running game kind of became obsolete a little bit because, you know, we were hurrying up and trying to catch up. And then, you know, when you fall into that mode and that's your comfort level, is that's kind of what we fell into, is that we became, you know, very pass happy because, A, it dictated because of what the game situation was, but then also it was starting to work. And, you know, really, you know, we just have a few blunders here and there. We let a sack in, you know, that puts us behind the chains a little bit. And, you know, just, you know, we were waiting on big plays and we got them, you know, which was good and bad, because it was good we were scoring, but it was bad because then we were putting the defense right back out there. And so, you know, it's just, we didn't put the whole thing together. You know, all night long, and really, as you said earlier, and I told everyone, you know, told you after the game, it was really that first quarter is what put us behind the 8-ball, and we were in defense mode from there on out.
But, you know, it was kind of interesting to see, and you've talked about the injuries, you know, that, and also you think about Jacob real quick, like, the thing is, though, that also long snapper on top of it, the kid's been doing long snapping since he was a kid, and he's not the biggest guy in the world, but the thing is, boy, he's good about it. I actually talked to his dad, and I mean, boy, I hope he makes it back. Obviously, he's a senior. I know it's a long haul to get him back in there. Thing is, though, that, Brian, what I'm real proud of, and when you sit there and look at this team, is that this team has the no quit in them. And you know what? They could have folded the tents if they wanted to. Some of them could have and just said, you know what, that's it. Got to talk to Dusty on Saturday night and told him that, you know, that a lot of people want him, great things for him. And we understand that he's a great athlete. And it's just a matter of him getting confidence where he's – feeling back again. But the thing is, though, he's still doing the job on the defense. He's still doing the job, on my opinion, on blocking downfield. Again, we'll bring this back up again. And he made a game, I mean, I don't want to say game saving, but he made a great open field tackle on a misdirection that they brought clear back to the other side there, and just was a beautiful play. And if he was really a checked out, that goes for a touchdown too. And I know that good things will come with him and help him out, and it helped special teams out too big time.
Yeah, and, I mean, those are just little things here and there that we've got to get cleaned up. And, you know, our margin for error, like I told the kids, yeah. You know, after the game is we're, you know, what upset me the most at the beginning of the game is that if we felt like we've accomplished something. And I'm sure that it was a little lack of emotion as well. But it just, you know, those kind of things, we don't have that. We're no one is that much better than us, but we're not that much better than anybody else either. And it's going to come down to week, how are we playing? How are we doing the little things right? And are we competing on every single snap and not acting like, you know, they're just supposed to lay down for us? And, you know, that's something that we've talked about and we've discussed. And, you know, we're just to me, we're just like this community of Garden City. We're hardworking people. We're representative of that we come to work every day. And when we do the little things right and we do everything exactly the way we're supposed to, we can be awful good. But when we let those things slip by us, then we give up big plays or we give up sacks or we give up negative yardage. And then, you know, we've got to be on our game every snap. And if they get us, they get us. But then we got to get it back the next play. And I just thought that we gave them too much cushion and let them get away from us in a manner that we shouldn't have.
That is Brian Hill, head football coach, Garden City, joining us here on the Coach's Show live from Jack's Sports Grill on the corner of campus in Marion Garden City alongside Ross Miller, Mike Pilosoff. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, wrap up game three. We'll look forward to the big conference matchup coming up on Friday at Fort Hays State, taking on Hayes. That's coming up on Friday right here on KWKR. Back in two. Three down linemen, eight men back deep, four receivers on first and 10 at the 31. Temple with all day to throw, looking, rolling left, pumping, airs to the end zone, jump ball, looking for Tripp, knocked away and incomplete. Great Ben will hang on.
All right, that's the final play of the game on Friday. Back at the Coach's Show live from Jack Sports Grill alongside Ross Miller, Mike Pilosoff. We're being joined by Brian Hill. That was the last play, and I had asked you on the postgame show, and both, again, not that we need to tell you anything, but we both agreed, and we both talked about that as far as, you know, with the wind and the distance, but I want you to get into that because you're set up around, I would say, the 31, 32-yard line. So at that point, if you bring in Ishmael Hernandez, who everybody I know has all the confidence in the world because he's a soccer player, one, he's got a good leg. We see him booting 50-yarders in practice. Your thought point through that whole process was what as far as bringing him out, going for the end zone?
There was a quick, you know, discussion, but, you know, I just felt like two things. I mean, one were all the factors you mentioned before. There's a lot of other factors. I mean, you know, they're going to load up. They're going to bring 11 at a point like that. If we'd have run out there with the field goal team after we had shown that, you're probably going to get another timeout. You're going to get 11 guys lined up and rushing at you. You know, Ishmael's not been in that situation. You know, this is the first time he's kicking for the varsity. Though he's made them and we've put him out there in the first 2 weeks. You know, I just, either and whether this comes into factor or not, I wasn't 100% sure how many overtimes it was going to take to beat them. You know, as well as they've run the football and those kind of things, is that I just felt like we needed to try to win the game right there. We were either going to win or lose. We were going to take our two best players offensively, put them on, you know, get Grayson's arm, mm-hmm. throw it to our biggest receiver. No matter how many guys they put on him, I still felt like we still had a chance just because he was so much bigger than everybody they had. And like I said afterwards, too, is that, you know, the game could have, you know, if they had interfered with him because of that size, you know, it would have been a 15-yard penalty, and then I would have run the kick, you know, the punt there, the PAT team out there and kicked a field goal. But, you know, a lot of things and ifs and buts, but, you know, in the long run, I felt like putting our best two players out there on the field with a chance to win the game was our best option.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I see we're getting down here on time, but make the trip up to Hayes. You're going to face another great quarterback. I understand that every year you play quarterbacks, but this year, like I said, you get a lot of senior quarterbacks. This just happens to be a junior quarterback that is almost kind of the mold of Grayson, a great thrower, but also a great runner or two on top of that in Alex Delton.
Yeah, Alex is a great player. He's a great kid, too. You know, I got to meet him a couple times during track season and visit with him, and you know, Coach Cornelison has the utmost things to say about him as well. I mean, he's a great kid, great leader for their football team, as Grayson is for ours. And, you know, he's kind of a do-it-all guy. I mean, they've actually opened up their offense a little bit to give him more opportunities to throw the football, which even makes it more difficult. As you find, you know, like with us, the more we spread it out, it's harder to keep a running quarterback, you know, in the pocket and those kind of things, because sometimes the best play you have is run everybody off. He breaks contain through a rush, and now everybody's 20 yards down the field, and he can take off running. So, you know, every night or every time Friday night, you know, when he gets the football in his hands, it's going to be hold your breath, because, you know, we're hoping that he'll try to deal it off And they've got a really good running back as well. You know, I mean, he's not quite the caliber that they've had with David Cardinal or Emilio Mitchell, but, you know, the young man they have back there now is still very admirable. He's a tough runner. He will get those tough yards for him. And so we've got our hands full again, as you do every week in the WAC.
And when you go from a quarterback like Beck, and Brett Bent, look, they threw the ball some, and I think they were effective with when they threw the ball, but that's a predominant running team. Now you go to a team that's almost a mirror image of what you guys do, in a sense, because of the quarterback and the style. So how much of a challenge is that now, game planning for a guy that, I mean, can you say it's a challenge because your defense faces it in practice every day?
Yeah, I mean, it's still a challenge. No, because they do it differently, though the athletic ability is still there. They do it in a different way, and so getting our run fits and things defensively and understanding, you know, they're multiple formation now, where they've been usually three or four formations in the past. They're going to break out, you know, six or seven formations, and we're going to have to make those adjustments. And, you know, the thing is that they're going to still do the things like we do. We're going to try to put it in the playmaker's hands, and you just got to find those guys. We got to tackle better. We need to be in position to make those tackles. And, you know, you just got to try to live with it. And if it turns into a track meet, we've got to turn it into a track meet. And you know, hopefully that, you know, they kind of turned into one last Friday night down at Liberal. It turned into a track meet. I mean, there was, you know, almost 90 points scored in their game. And if that's the case, that's the way it's got to be. And, you know, we've got to be able to play any game that that arises on Friday night.
Obviously not giving anything away, but you could tell their point of attack, their main gun here on for the Panthers was to take Grayson out of the ball game. They did a pretty good job rushing-wise because they just basically sent guys to a point, and that's where we're going to go, try to keep him contained without giving anything away, obviously, because I know that Cornelson's probably listened to the program like he does all the time anyway. But, you know, what can you do about that, trying to open some more things up for Grayson? I heard you talking about spreading it out just a little bit, and then you draw the one-on-one comparisons. But thing is, though, you're still outmanned by one guy.
Yeah, and, I mean, we've got to do some things, and we're going to change a few things and try to help, you know, clarify a few things of some things that people have now done through three games, because what Great Ben did, you know, really wasn't anything that we hadn't already seen. We just didn't effectively, once that point came where we kind of abandoned the running game, because offense to me is rhythm. And when you lose that rhythm that of continually running guy by and handing off and Grayson reading the end and those kind of things that we do, that, you know, we just lost all, track of what we were doing there. And it basically became, okay, let's use his arm to try to beat them. And let's use our speed on the perimeter to try to beat them. You know, he was doing a good job, and, you know, like I said, I mean, he put the hands and, you know, the ball in hands of Grayson or Dusty a little bit, and, you know, and then a couple times with Caleb made two great plays to put us in the end zone. And, you know, probably again a highlight reel that everybody, it happened so fast, and even for me until I watched it on film, kind of took it for granted. But the catch he made on the 2-point conversion was unbelievable, and really the throw to put it where only Caleb could catch it was really unbelievable. And so, you know, to have that size and that kind of ability, you know, really helps. But, you know, we've got to do a few things. We've got to change a few things up and give them some different looks, so that they can't just run a guy, like you said, to a point and expect Grayson to meet him there. We got to do a few things, and we've got a few of those that we're looking at implementing this week.
Well, Brian, we always appreciate you coming in. Good luck coming up on Friday.
All right, thanks, guys.
There you go. Next time we'll talk to him. It'll be during the Taco Bell pregame show coming up on Friday night from Fort Hays State University. Will happen for you 6:30 again on Friday night with the Taco Bell pregame show, 7 o'clock, myself and Ross Miller live from Hays. That'll wrap it for this edition of the Buffalo Coaches Show live from Jack Sports Grill coming up in the next couple minutes. If you tune it over to AM 1030 KBUF, we'll have the Buster Coaches Show. Defensive coordinator Jeff Kelly will join us. That's coming up in just a couple minutes. Good night.